Check the school closing list. Your kids' school might be on there. WTAM.com, keyword closings. Cavs get beat in Boston. LeBron didn't even play in a fourth quarter. Mike Snyder's take, sports coming up. News, names, notes, trending, entertainment. Jason Nathanson with us. Let's start with Carrie Underwood. Now, that kind of reset this for me. We knew she had fallen back in November, right?
Yeah, she broke her wrist. We knew that in a fall outside our home in Nashville. And it was a pretty bad fall. And we haven't seen her since. And she posted a note to her fan club in the past couple of days saying, hey, when you see me next time, I might look a little bit different. Apparently, she had to get 40 to 50 stitches to close a wound on her face.
Wow.
Now, we don't know exactly what happened there. We haven't seen a picture of her. But there was a picture of her about a month ago. A reality star took a picture with her at a gym. She didn't look any different. But maybe we didn't see the right angle or I don't know. So we might see something different next time we actually see her.
Good point. Okay, now, there's a big business music story this morning. A lot of people use Spotify for music, and they're being sued. What's this thing about?
They are. This is over music publishing rights. Spotify being sued for $1.6 billion. This is by Wixon Music Publishing. They own the rights to a bunch of songs by Tom Petty, The Doors, Neil Young, Missy Elliott, and more. They're saying that Spotify didn't do everything right, that they got the rights to the actual music recordings, but they didn't get the rights to the actual music compositions. You got to get the rights to both, apparently. So they're suing for max damages, $150,000 per song. So that comes out to $1.6 billion.
Well, can they pay that kind of money at Spotify?
They apparently can. They're reportedly worth about $19 billion. They're going to go public later this year. So, you know, I don't know. It's money that they have set aside for something like this.
Yeah.
But they're worth that much.
All right. Finally, on a serious note, if you know the name Logan Paul, you know he's what I guess they're called vloggers on YouTube. What's the story here?
Yeah, he's a huge YouTube star, 15 million followers, and he's in a lot of hot water. After posting this video a couple days, went to Japan's Aokigahara Forest, which is known as the Suicide Forest, right below Mount Fuji, where a lot of people go, and it's a mystical place, and a lot of people go, and they end their lives there. He was going in there, filming a video, and they came upon a dead body, somebody who had committed suicide, and he posted the video. It's a very tough video to watch. It's 15 minutes, and it's been taken down since. But, you know, you
just
can find it out there.
Stupid.
You can find anything out there.
Why are you doing
and
it?
It's just really, it's sad out there. And they posted this video, and in it, he can be seen laughing. They're filming this body. And a lot of people are saying how disrespectful it is. And he's catching a lot of flack. He's apologized twice, but
right,
a lot of people say that's not enough.
Dumb move, man. All right, Jason Nathan on the Entertainment News of the Morning. Thanks, Jason.
Take care.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder.
Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Okay, January, back-to-back, NBA, you once in a while have these stumbles, but I don't like stumbling against Boston.
Well, okay? That's the team that you're measured against. And,
yeah.
And now, Bill, there's one more opportunity. It's kind of odd this year. They only end up with three games between the Cavs and Celtics. Usually it's four. I'm sure the league would like to have rescheduled that for a fourth game.
Probably, yeah.
There will be a rematch in February, and I think that'll be the game that'll give us the real clue as to where we are headed here, because the Cavs, of course, in game one, that was the game that Hayward went down for Boston. Last night, the Cavaliers just didn't have it. They've yet to have Isaiah Thomas. So all the parts aren't there right now. But it was a humbling night for the Cavs, Bill, as they fell to the Celtics, and Boston just put it on them.
Rozier, another three. Same result. Boy, he's been magnificent. And the Youngstown native against his hometown team has given the Celtics a 98-77 lead, 5:33 to go here in the fourth quarter, and we have a timeout. Celtics by 21.
Rozier would finish with 20 points. Boston, with a balanced attack, beat the Cavs 102-88. Cavs were ice cold, shot just 34% from the field, made only 8 threes, ending their streak of 26 straight games of 10 or more from long distance. LeBron led the Cavs with 19. Afterwards, he was asked, just like Bill Wills asked me, about the state of the Cavs after falling 4.5 games behind Boston for the best record in the East.
I mean, like I tell you, I don't know who we are, what we can be until we get IT back, you know, and consistently.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that we all want to see. Are they better than they were a year ago with the deeper bench and an Isaiah Thomas? Or have they taken a step back? I think we need to see Isaiah Thomas out there. Now, he never left the bench last night as he set out the game two of the back-to-back that we knew was going to happen. Now, the Celtics won despite the fact that Kyrie Irving only scored 11 points. Kyrie did have 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and he was talking defense afterwards.
I think probably keeping him on the 90 and defensively just being in the right spots and kind of making them uncomfortable in the half court as best we could. We understand they have some special talents.
Well, the most eyebrow-raising thing I heard last night when I was talking with Jim Jones before the game is that he told me that Celtics legend and now broadcaster Tom Heinsohn told him that Kyrie Irving is really trying to play good defense. Well, we saw some of that last night. So the Celtics get it done. Cavs now idle till Saturday when they go to I think they're in Orlando now. They got out of this cold, and they'll meet the Magic Saturday night. Isaiah Thomas will make his first start for the Cavaliers. Who will be the Browns' starting quarterback at the beginning of next season? Don't we ask that question every year? It's likely John Dorsey will add a veteran, but right now when you look at big picture, they will have the pick of the litter when it comes to quarterbacks coming out of college. USC's Sam Darnold, UCLA's Josh Rosen, both announcing yesterday they will forego college eligibility to enter the NFL draft. Now, Rosen is said to be the most ready. Darnold, we got a first-hand look against Ohio State. He needs some work. He's got a lot of potential, but he needs a lot of work, and there's also the young man from Wyoming. We've heard a lot about Josh Allen, but Darnold and Rosen are the two that the Browns are going to have to vet and figure out what they want to do with that first pick. They don't have to move anywhere. It's their choice. Now, the Browns coaching staff has passed on a chance to coach Baker Mayfield and others at the Senior Bowl. Hugh Jackson indicating that because he is looking at changes within his staff, that they won't have those complete by the time of that game. And right now, the biggest search is for an offensive coordinator. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Can't do anything about the weather. Let's talk about it. Bill Zimfer joins me on News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill, look, big portion of the country. I even saw yesterday video out of Tallahassee. The co-eds were out in the snowflakes in Florida showing off the snow even.
Yeah, first time since 1989 they've seen snow in Tallahassee, also all the way up the East Coast. This is a storm that is now stretching 1,500 miles. Weather advisories in effect all the way from Florida up, of course, until Maine. So, and Bill, it's always amazing. A new year, we get another new weather term. And this year, it is bomb cyclone. That's what they're calling this. It's a good old-fashioned nor'easter, if you're familiar with those. We're used to those here on the East Coast, where you get some snow coming in and high winds and beach erosion and flooding along the coastline. That's what we're going to see here. But really, the New England area, specifically Boston and the Cape Cod area, are the ones that are really going to be lashed by this. With 18 inches of snow, winds over 60 miles per hour, it is going to be very ugly along the coastline. I'm a little bit inland north of Philadelphia now, and about 4:30 this morning, you heard the winds kick up. You looked outside, and there was bands of snow coming in. I think the bomb cyclone has arrived.
First snowfall in Tallahassee, Florida in nearly 30 years. The airport at Savannah, Georgia, closed yesterday for a while because of snow. Parts of around Savannah, Hilton Head, picking up an inch or two of snow. And, Bill, you mentioned the Northeast. I mean, look, we've got flights, of course. These things will be affected throughout the day around the country because some of these planes just can't get out of the Northeast today.
Absolutely. The airports all up and down, and of course the big airports in New York City and in Boston and in Philadelphia are going to be affected by this, Washington, D.C. as well, and also interesting, the naval station down in Norfolk, Virginia, they were having some issues with the weather as well. It is just incredible, the scope and range of this storm, and it is really going to get ugly here as we move on throughout the day today, and the cold weather that you guys are going to be experiencing there over the next 24 hours or so, Bill, it's heading east. So after this foot and a half of snow, we're going to get some temperatures that, with the wind chill, will be about 30 below zero.
Talking weather with our Bill Zimfer. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome.
Temp right now, I've got 16. It feels like about one above. And it's the warmest now that it's going to be for like the next 72 hours. Won't be this warm again till probably sometime on Sunday. 525 at News Radio WTAM 1100. Hundreds of schools have closed today. Many have already closed for tomorrow because it's going to be even brutally, more cold tomorrow, colder. And you can check the list at WTAM.com. Use the key. Sharon Reed on that and a few other things out of Washington this morning. Sharon, here we go. I mean, we got a budget, we got immigration, you got a possible government shutdown, you got politics, mm-hmm. and then you got this Bannon book. A typical day for Trump, right?
Every day seems to bring a new adventure. The news on the Bannon book real quickly is that the president's lawyer has issued a cease and desist letter to Steve Bannon saying stop talking about this and threatening immediate legal action. And we're hearing a report from Bloomberg that says White House staffers now are no longer able to use their personal cell phones in the White House beginning tomorrow. Whether that's directly related, we'll see. Steve Bannon went on the radio overnight and said that on Breitbart Radio and said he still supports the president despite all those vicious words, shall we say, coming from the White House. Says he still supports Trump day in and day out. But you're right, there's a lot of other things going on as well here in Washington. And so we'll see what consumes the headlines today.
GOP leadership going to head to Camp David still this weekend?
Correct. That's still supposedly happening. And you had the congressional leaders on both parties meeting yesterday in Paul Ryan, House Speaker Paul Ryan's office, trying to reach a deal before that potential government shutdown 2 weeks from tomorrow. They came out talking a bit of progress, but not too many details, certainly no breakthroughs. And it does sound like Democrats are holding true to their promise to fight for immigration reform, specifically helping the Dreamers. The Republican side of it issued a statement saying that it's important that members of Congress do not hold funding for troops hostage for immigration policy. Republicans really looking to increase spending caps on defense spending. Democrats want to see parity. They want to see equal increases in spending for both defense and domestic. So they're still apart on that.
All right, Sharon Reed on the stories out of D.C. this morning. Sharon, thanks. Stay warm, by the way.
Thank you. Do the same.
A lot for Rush to get into today. I think he's got a copy of Bannon's book. Rush Limbaugh's take on all this and more follows the news at noon today on News Radio WTAM 1100. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Let's talk some travel and getting out of here at some point this year. Live life to the fullest and see something new. Ann McDermott joins us. She's the editor at FairCompare.com. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how you doing? You know, as we are talking right now, I am staring at a round-trip flight from for Cleveland, Miami, $49 round-trip. Now, that's at the end of the month on a Tuesday-to-Tuesday flight, but, boy, that's pretty good.
With the weather here compared to Miami for $49, it sounds good. You've been looking at what we're looking for, I guess, when it comes to searches at faircompare.com on some of the top travel destinations. And really, I think you want some place where you're going to enjoy, you want value, and you want to pay a fair price, but you know, you do want to save money, right, Ann?
Well, yeah, exactly. But what we've been finding are just the raw search data of people who are, you know, looking to go someplace, who are dreaming, perhaps, or they just want to get away. And we've compiled a list of the top 15 places people are most interested in and have been booking flights to. And it's kind of fascinating. We have customers around the world, and you see this, I suspect, in a lot of this. Many of the top choices are for Asia cities. But let me just rattle off the top five, which is Bangkok, Tokyo, London, Los Angeles. That is the top five, yes.
Okay.
Did I mention New York? That's in there. Bangkok,
New York City.
Tokyo,
okay.
New York, London, Los Angeles. Right. And followed up by Seoul, which the Winter Olympics is taking place there in February, or 100 miles east of there. Followed by Hong Kong, Paris, Shanghai, Dubai, and rounding off our top 15, number 11, Manila, followed by Sydney, Orlando, Honolulu, and Rome.
Interesting.
That's where people are looking to go.
A lot of experiences in those different cities. We're not talking about just sitting on a beach then. We want to see things, right?
Absolutely. You know, you can see everything from sports, as I mentioned, the Olympics, but Bangkok is known for beautiful beaches as well as its beautiful ancient temples. Paris, boy, you can do all kinds of things in Paris. It is just a lovely place. Dubai, you know, amazing skyscrapers, a mall with an indoor ski lifts and experience. Sydney is beautiful year-round. Orlando, of course, the theme parks. Honolulu beaches. Rome is great for anything.
Absolutely. And Miami for how much again? $49? Is that what you saw?
That's out of Cleveland. I'm just seeing this one flight on Tuesday to Tuesday, late January, on Frontier.
All right.
That could change. Airlines are, you know, renowned for constantly changing their prices, but for most domestic travel and travel to Europe, starting January 9th, fares for flights on that date and beyond for a good long while come down significantly.
Interesting. All right. So let me follow up on that to get you out of here. Then if you're looking for overseas, if you're looking for Europe, you're saying wait then till after January 9th?
You know, you can book now.
Okay.
Just try to book a little after January 9th. Basically, you know, you may be able to find a deal like for tomorrow or the next day or something, although that's a little unusual. You
right.
usually have to leave yourself a couple of weeks.
Sure, sure.
Before, you know, otherwise you pay the last-minute fares that business travelers pay. But starting in January, early January, flights to Europe are down significantly. And we've seen in the $300 range from a lot of cities to Paris, for example. But it changes all the time. You just never know. But this is a good time to fly because people don't want to fly. Airlines know this. So they lower their prices.
Cut the price, and you want to get out here to a warmer destination, might be a good time to do it. Ann McDermott, she is at faircompare.com. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.
Does. You don't want to give your own advice, because I'm not sure about this taking the battery out of the car tonight. Your car started this morning, but I'm just curious. We got brutal temperatures next few days, zero or below. You park outside tomorrow, Saturday, what's going to happen? At Conrad's Total Car Care Tire Express, I've got the general manager, Sam Jacob, kind enough to join me this morning. Sam, Bill, Mike here. Thanks for the time, first of all. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let me run a couple questions by you, because I'm guessing you, AAA, everybody's going to get calls next couple days on starting cars with these cold temperatures. Now, some of these things may be old wise tales, but let me just get some advice from you.
Sure.
Your car started this morning. You get home this evening, you know it's going to be zero or below. Do you go out and start it this evening, let it run a little bit so it will start in the morning? Will that help at all?
Well, Bill, you know, as cold as the weather is right now, that's really not going to make a difference. You know, when temperatures get below zero like they are overnight, especially, you know, they're talking about 20 below wind chills, you know, the real key thing is preventative maintenance and making sure that the battery is in a condition to be able to withstand this brutal cold that we have right now.
All right. So the main thing's the battery. I throw around the phrase dead battery. What technically does that mean, though, Sam?
Well, when a battery is dead, you really don't have any voltage that is enough to be able to start the vehicle up. And there's really three main reasons why a car battery dies in the winter. It's really reduced capacity, increased draw when you're starting the car in the morning. The oil is thicker, the starter is taking increased draw. And then one thing that we don't, that we take for granted and we don't realize is that, you know, we have a ton of battery chargers, iPhone chargers, laptop chargers that are causing and pulling draw off of that battery. Some of those chargers, when you turn the car off, they're still pulling out of that battery. So you've got to make sure that when you get out of the car, the interior lights are off, your headlights are off, you pull your battery chargers out of the cigarette lighter and out of the USB ports. All those things cause draw on that battery.
Sam, any other tips you might have on that? I've heard it. I don't know. Is it a wives' tale that it's good to get out there on the highway if you haven't driven much rather than just do city driving?
Well, no, that's not a wives' tale. You know, you do want to avoid short trips. You know, if you think about it, you know, we'll all be driving home in rush hour tonight, and, you know, we're idling a lot when we're doing that, and idling a lot with those accessories in your cigarette lighters, that puts additional strain on the battery. So you don't want to really do many short trips. So there's a lot of different things that you can do to help prevent the battery from causing you a problem. But again, the key thing is you want to get it checked. You want to make sure that there's no corrosion on the cables and that the cables are tight. And that's really the key thing, is that preventative maintenance for a battery situation, especially in this cold temperatures that we have.
Sam Jacobic with us from Conrad's, talking about trying to make sure your car starts here the next couple mornings and the best way to do it. And Mike wants to ask about his wife's snowblower with that two-cycle gas. But let me ask you first, though, on the let's say we're jumping a car tomorrow morning. Let's say Snyder's battery is dead. And he calls me, and I'm not going to help him, but I'm going to tell him to call Triv. And Triv will come over maybe and with his jumper cables, all right? if Snyder's car doesn't start right away, click, 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 and we know the connections look right, do you leave the jumper cables on 5-10 minutes? Is there a charge going to that dead battery, or is the total start coming off the car that's running? Do you understand my question?
No, I do, and if it's not going to start when you do the initial jump, the chances are you're not going to have enough that's going to come from the running vehicle to start that second vehicle. So if it doesn't start, you can leave the cables on, and there is a chance, because there is obviously voltage current that's going through those cables.
Okay.
But if it doesn't start right away, the chances are you're probably not going to do.
Okay.
The other thing, you know, as I say, Mike said earlier about taking batteries out of the car overnight. I think that would be quite the challenge to do with some of the technology and some of the ways that these cars are built. You know, batteries are very difficult to get to. I think those days have passed us.
Yeah, just getting to the battery anymore, that make it hard with some of these. Okay, now let me get you out here on this, because we're worried. Janice is, Mike's wife's got that two-cycle snowblower, too. Any tips to make sure if we get some snow next couple of days, just go out and run that thing once in a while if you can get it started?
Oh, absolutely. You know, going out, and again, you know, it's the same thing with the snowblower. It's maintenance. You want to make sure that you have that spark plug cleaned or replaced. You want to make sure you got the proper mix in the fuel. You want to make sure that the blades are not caulked or stuck with ice, because a lot of times we will snowblow, bring it in and stop, and then all that snow just freezes immediately. So there's maintenance that's needed on those snowblowers as well. A lot of times we just think we can go right out and start it up, and then, you know, we're pulling the shovel out of the garage.
All right, you remind Janice.
We'll put that on the podcast. I'll let her listen to that later.
All right. Sam, anything else you want to pass along while I got you, bud?
Well, you know, obviously in this cold weather, make sure that you've got proper, wiper blades are working good. You want to make sure you top off your washer fluid.
Right.
Your air pressure and your tires need to be up.
Lights go off in the morning. Those air pressure lights
go off. Yeah, Sam, what about that? Yeah, talk a little bit about the tires. We'll see those lights go on when it's cold.
Yeah, you'll lose air pressure as the air temperature declines. And, the key thing is that to get it in right away, actually, all of my cars in our family did that over the last week and a half. We'll check your air pressure for free at all of our stores. We'll set the air pressures for you. We'll make sure that there's, no issues with the tires, no road hazards in them. So, all of the newer cars have that tire pressure monitoring system. So
right.
it's a great, reminder for.
All right. Well, a lot Janice has to do here today to make sure Mike's car starts tomorrow morning. Okay. Sam, you've been very helpful. We thank you at Conrad's for helping us out, too. Sam Jacobick with us, the GM over at Conrad's Total Car Care Tire Center. Good tips next couple days. We got to get through the cold. Sam, we appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, Sam.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Yesterday, I should say, spent some time downtown checking out what we've been talking about when it comes to development. And on the hotline this morning from Western Corporation, great developer is Ed Asher, our friend on News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Ed, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it. I spent some time downtown yesterday. Went by the Standard building. And just a quick little history for people that, you may know or not know. That building downtown near Public Square, built 1924, Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineer Cooperative National Bank Building. Standard building, named for Standard Trust. It was a labor bank. They actually had to liquidate during the Great Depression back in the 30s. Elliot Ness, the famous agent, of course, Cleveland safety director, had an office in that building at one point. Yep. You and I, we spent some time a couple years ago when this deal, you were starting to work on this thing, and you talked about the history of that building and as a developer, I guess, a dream, the location and the architecture, Ed?
Well, it's a dream for, a number of reasons, Bill. It's such a great building with a great history. Elliot Ness did have his office in there when he was in Cleveland. My old man had his office in there. I used to go down there as a kid. And it seems like everybody in town's got a story or a memory about the building. Mayor Jackson and many others enlisted in the Army there. It's got such a great history, and we're so pleased to be a part of it.
Going around downtown yesterday, is looking at different projects and driving by the Standard a couple of times, saw some activity. Yesterday officially the first day to move some people in. Before I get to that point, let's talk about Weston first, the work you guys do for people.
Yeah, we're a commercial real estate owner, operators, and developers. We've got a portfolio about 12 million square feet, about half in town, half out. But we're based in Cleveland, and we love it here, and we're so proud and glad to be part of the excitement that's going on downtown. It's so fun to see the people on the streets, walking dogs, pushing baby strollers. You know, that public square is such a nice amenity, which is just half a block away from the building, and we're very excited about everything that's going on in Cleveland.
Ed, not just you as a local developer, but I would think in your industry, as you travel the country, people are talking about Cleveland and what's happening. But I think it's Downtown Cleveland Alliance says about 15,000 people now live downtown, right?
They do, and that's what makes it so exciting. And yeah, nationally we are seeing Cleveland starting to get a little bit of a buzz. People are talking about us.
You put this deal together. I did a little research last night. It was, I don't know, officially, I don't want to get lost in the high weeds. It was like, what, 2014, I think, when this thing closed, as far as you buying it?
Yeah. We bought the building in 2014 from the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen. We're actually the second owners of the building. And we've been working on designing and constructing the building ever since. And we just finished up in late December here and moved our first residents in yesterday.
Apartment living? Is that what you
know? It is. There's 280 rental apartment units in there. There's 200 one-bedroom units. There's 82 bedroom units. We've got four amazing penthouses up on the top floor. And the amenities in there are spectacular. We've got lake views. We've got a community room beneath the historic skylight. It's just a wonderful, wonderful common space. We've got a fully equipped fitness center. We're pet-friendly. It's professionally managed, and it's going to be a great community.
One of the many great projects, the Standard Building opening yesterday with people moving in. Demographically, Ed, it you and other developers and people I talk in downtown, we're not just talking millennials. I mean, there's all sorts of different ages and people that are moving in and enjoying downtown, right?
Yeah, we are starting to see the other end, the empty nesters, folks that are looking to sell the big house and downsize. They're considering downtown now, and it's exciting that they're a part of it.
Standard Building near Public Square Apartments, Weston and Ed Asher are part of the ownership group as they officially opened yesterday. Went by and saw some people moving in, thought I'd get you on the phone. Congratulations on the project, number one on the business side, and really congratulations to us in Cleveland, the Standard, as well as all the other projects downtown. The historic tax credits we heard a lot about, were you able to use that to help get this thing done?
Yes. We were able to use both federal and state historic tax credits. The project could not have happened without it, so it's great that the state's doing it. The federal program has changed a little bit with the new tax law.
Right.
It's still going to be helpful. Probably not as helpful as it was, but it's still going to be helpful, and we're glad that was part of the new tax bill.
Well, it's a great example of something we talk about, and here you physically can see it in downtown Cleveland, how it worked out. Okay, the Standard, now open for business, and if you follow me on Twitter, at Bill Wills, WTAM, tweeted a link to apartments, look absolutely beautiful. Ed, congratulations on the project. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside a 102-88 loss in Boston last night. John Michael joins us. I will note you don't make out the travel plan, but nobody argued you flew directly Boston to Orlando for a game that won't be played until Saturday, I'm guessing.
That's right. I mean, we had to get out because of those, as you just heard, I mean, the snow and the wind were bad in Boston. They were expecting some bad stuff overnight, so we got out right away, ended up in Orlando, got in here about 4 in the morning, and we're going to have a couple of days here before the Cavs get ready to go against a struggling Magic team on Saturday night.
Let's go back to last night. I know it's January, it's a back-to-back, but look, guys, it was the Boston Celtics, John.
Yeah, it was, and it was a night where the Cavs shot 35%. I mean, Boston came in as the number one team in terms of defensive efficiency, and that's what we got last night. And the last time the Cavaliers struggled this badly from the field, it was on Christmas against another strong defensive team in the Golden State Warriors. The Cavs really never got it going. I mean, offensively, they seemed out of sorts in the first quarter, and they never really got it back together. I mean, outside of LeBron, who ended up with 19 points, and he was 8 of 15 from the field, we saw some ugly numbers out of the Cavaliers. Kevin Love struggled, 1 of 11. Jay Crowder, 2 of 12. Dwayne Wade, 2 of 10. And you're not going to beat a Boston team shooting with those kind of numbers. Handed to the Celtics. I mean, they had a nice night, 6 players in double figures, balanced scoring. The Youngstown native Terry Rozier was fantastic off the Boston bench. 20 points in 19 minutes. He was 8 of 12. So a nice performance by a Celtics team that was well-rested. I mean, the Cavs aren't making any excuses. They were playing on the tail end of a back-to-back. And frankly, it looked like it last night in Boston as the Celtics took round 2 of this the season series that will conclude during the regular season anyways, back in Boston on February, three games this season against the Celtics.
Well, that game may tell us a little bit more. Hopefully both sides will be healthy for that one, and Isaiah Thomas will have blended in, John. I think LeBron said it afterwards, that he's not sure who the Cavs are right now until Isaiah plays consistently. The plan is for him to start Saturday, right, and pretty much play, except with the exception of back-to-backs, at least in the near future. Is that right?
Right, it looks that way. Yeah, he should get his first Cavaliers start in Orlando, and man, if that game, you know, the other night against Portland was any indication, that this kid's raring and ready to go, Michael. I mean, 19 minutes, he scores 17 points, goes to plus 17. I got to tell you, too, about a young man who seems to endear himself to every fan base in every city he plays in. He got a huge reception from the Boston fans. They had the big hubbub about them not showing the tribute video, and Isaiah didn't want it last night because he wasn't playing in the game, and they ended up showing him, just putting a camera on him on the video scoreboard, and that place went nuts. Almost the same way that Cleveland went nuts the night before. So, hey, a young guy with a good heart. We all know what he went through last season, losing his sister tragically and being able to pull through that so effectively and, you know, with so much pride and with so much grace. So great to have him aboard. Great to have him in wine and gold. And, you know, I'm like everybody else, Mike. I can't wait to see this guy in the starting lineup and what the Cavaliers look like once he gets assimilated to this team and they him.
Yeah, we all want to see more, and they need it, that front group. You touched on it, John, in last night's game. Kevin Love missed his first 8 shots. Jay Crowder, I don't know if the moment was too emotional for him. He had a rough night. Those starters just did not get it done, with the exception of LeBron. That needs to change now as we move into a phase where, after Orlando, there's some pretty tough games coming up for the Cavs the next few weeks.
You're right. I mean, you look at that Martin Luther King Jr. Day game against Golden State. That's coming up at the conclusion of this trip. The Cavaliers also have Oklahoma City and Houston looming at home over the next couple of weeks. So you're right. The schedule certainly gets tougher. And I think it was clear, Mike. I mean, there was a lack of secondary scoring last night. Kevin Love's been great, by the way. I mean, Love, he had an aberration last night. He didn't play very well. Actually got knocked out of the game with a leg injury late. But I mean, he's been terrific. He's been averaging 20 and 10. He's been playing less than 30 minutes per ball game to do that. So, out of the ordinary performance out of Love, hopefully he bounces back. But they need more than Kevin. I mean, we've shown that, Mike, over the last couple of seasons. You need those three scorers, and they're looking for another guy to step up. But hey, let's remember Isaiah Thomas last season averaged 29 points per game. So he knows how to put the ball in the basket. Like I said, I'm like everybody else. I can't wait to see what he looks like in that Cavs starting lineup.
Yeah, pace yourself. Chilly day, 50 in Orlando, I'm told. So a couple sweatshirts, John, okay? We don't want you to overdo it. I know that 50 degrees at Disney, there's probably in-depth team coverage on how people are handling the cold down there today.
Yeah, it is. It's 36 right now if you woke up. So, and I know you guys are freezing, but it's pretty cold for Orlando. So we'll be all right. We'll suck it up.
Enjoy. Here. We'll listen on Saturday. Thanks, pal.
All right.